The beginning of the Gospel of John tells us so much about what lies ahead before we even get to the main part of the Gospel. It's really my favorite book of all of the New Testament. This Gospel reading is important at Christmas time, even though it's not only about the birth of Jesus Christ, but about everything he was and is and did. The more that we explore the Gospel of John, we'll find out that today's Holy Gospel reading lays it all out for us. Right away, it has a most familiar ring to it. In the beginning, let's face it, anyone who has ever opened a Bible recognizes that as being the start of the first book of the Torah, the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, through the Apostle John, wants us to see this book as the story of God in the world. And it's much bigger than just the story of one person, one place, and one time. This is all about God, the Creator, acting in a very new way within his much-loved creation. It's about the way in which the long story, which began in Genesis and continued up through these events, reaches the culmination that God had always intended. And he will do this through the Word. In Genesis chapter 1, the most significant part of creation is the sixth day, when God created humanity in his image. In John chapter 1, it's the arrival of a human being. The Word became flesh. When you think about speaking a word, it is in sense a part of you. It's a breath that comes from inside you and is a sound made by your mouth and your tongue. When that word is heard, we hope they hear it just as you intended. But you said, people might comment, if our actions don't match up with our words. We're responsible for the words we say. And when you think about it, our words have a life which is independent of us. When people hear them, words can change the way they think and live. The words remain in their memory and go on affecting them. We should watch what we say and who we say it to. Simply put, our words carry weight and consequences, good or bad. In the Old Testament, God acts by means of his word. What he says happens in Genesis. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, says Psalm 33, verse 6. God's word is the one thing that will last, even though the people and the plants wither and die. Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, the grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. God's word will go out of his mouth and bring life, healing, and hope to Israel and the whole of creation. Isaiah 55. When I attended Trinity School for Ministry in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, at seminary for my Master of Divinity degree from 2002 until 2005, after living in Jacksonville for 9 years, I had to uproot my family and move them to Pittsburgh, PA for 3 years. And I was one of the oldest people in my class. All these kids were walking around and they were talking about the Logos. All these kids are talking a language that I didn't understand. I had to do some checking. I found out that the Greek word for word is logos. I never knew how important it was to know Greek, since the language of the New Testament is Greek, the written word of that time period. And I wondered why. Well, Alexander the Great had a great impact on Eastern Asia, on that part of the world. conquered, and the language became Greek, the written language. Well, the Romans came later, but the written language remained Greek. The Logos, or Word of God, the principle of divine reason and creative order, was identified in John's Gospel as the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. That's why John chose the Word here as a way of telling us who Jesus really is. John probably expects some readers to see about Jesus what some writers had said about Sophia, or wisdom, in the Old Testament. Well, in the time of Jesus, many Hebrew scholars discussed, how can the one true God be both different from the world and active within the world? Some had already combined them with the belief that the one true God had promised to place his own presence in the temple in Jerusalem. Others saw them enshrined in the Jewish law, the Torah. All of this comes together when John writes of God's Word. John is saying that to all of the thinkers, that the Word is not an abstract principle. It's a person. And I'm going to introduce you to him. And he does. I want you to hear again verses 1, 2, and 18 from the reading that Deacon Bob read this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then we fast forward to verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. This image that we are given of the Word is intimately close to God. John goes where no one ever went before. And it's because of Jesus that makes him do it. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. He became human, became one of us. He came as a baby, dependent on others. If he wanted anything at all, he had to cry. Like any other baby, his mother Mary had to change him, or Joseph had to change him, because dads do that too. And he became, in fact, the human being we know as Jesus of Nazareth, whose birth we just celebrated 2 days ago on Christmas. The theme and purpose of the Gospel of John is pretty clear. If you want to know who the true God is, take a long, hard look at one person, Jesus of Nazareth. The one that we know as Jesus is identical to the Logos, the Word, who was there from the very start. The Word through whom all things were made. The one who contained and contains life and light. The Word challenged the darkness before creation and now challenges the darkness that still is found within creation itself. The Word is bringing into being a new creation in which God says once more, let there be light. Well, when God sends his Word into the world pretends it doesn't recognize him. When God sends the Word specifically to Israel, some of the chosen people did not recognize him. Jesus comes to God's people, and some of God's people do what the rest of the world do. They prefer darkness to light. It's because of people's preference that new grace is needed on top of the grace already given in the law given to Moses. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Grace is something that we don't ask for, and we certainly don't deserve. But God gives it to us anyway. How many of you love to receive presents? Remember 2 days ago? There was something under the tree for you. You opened it. Now, you may not have deserved it. In some instances, you probably said, wow, this is awesome. Think of that as a gift that you received that you never asked for and you certainly don't deserve, but God gives it to you abundantly, every day in every way. unbelievable. It really is. God gives it to us. And the law points people in the right direction. But like Moses himself, it does not take us into the promised land. Moses, as wonderful as he was, disobeyed God by, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock for the water at Meribah. And so God said, Moses, I love you very much, but you're not going into the promised land. You can't go there. So he took him to Mount Nebo, and he saw the promised land, and it was there that Moses died. And like David, because David disobeyed with Bathsheba, he wasn't allowed to build the temple, but his son Solomon did. You need grace in order to accomplish the things that you're set out to do. And truth that comes through only Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of God, who said on the night before he died, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's John 14:6. You know what's exciting? It's that the first part of John's gospel contains us too. Verses 12 and 13, I want you to hear them again. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. And that means that anyone at all, way back then and right now, that means you do not have to be born into a particular family or part of the world. God wants people from everywhere to be born in a new way, born again, if you will, born into his family. Didn't I hear the word Abba that was read by Jay? Abba in, well, Aramaic or Hebrew is daddy. It's father. Abba, Ima, that's mommy. So you can't just call somebody father unless you're related in a special way. And Paul says we're related in a special way. Born into his family, which he began through Jesus and which has since spread through the world. On Christmas Eve, I preached a message that what would it be like if Jesus was not born? But he was born. And because of that, we're here today to celebrate that fact. To celebrate him. Sometimes we need to realize that we can become a child of God, going beyond the fact that all humans are special in God's sight. Something can happen to people in this life which causes them to become new people. I don't know about you, but that happened to me. All of a sudden my eyes were open and it was like, wow, this is a whole new beginning. Or as Paul says, a new creation, people who believed in his name. Throughout all of John's gospel, and I ask you, if you get the opportunity during the new year, set yourself a resolution to read a little bit of John's gospel each day. There's only 21 chapters, and it goes pretty quick, but it's full of the character of Jesus Christ. It's full of miracles and wonders that you've already heard before, but you will see in a new way. Throughout that gospel, we see the great drama of God and the world, of Jesus and Israel, of the Word who reveals glory of the unseen God. And that is for everyone, not just a chosen few, but you and I included. Now, I want to share with you the verses that follow immediately today's Holy Gospel. Today's Holy Gospel is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. I want to share with you verses 19 and 20. We find more about John the Baptist. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confess freely, I'm not the Christ. Now the Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One. He tells that he is not the chosen one, but it's his job to point to him. He's giving evidence about the light. If we're to meet the Word of God, we can start by reading the Gospel of John, And I got to tell you, when we start, it's a very good beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.